With Montana News, I'm Claire Menahan. The Montana State Hospital has changed some policies and plans to increase staffing and improve training. In November, the forensic mental health facility in Galen was locked down due to a lack of staffing. Disability Rights Montana filed a complaint, and an investigation found that two patients were unnecessarily held in seclusion for a week. Lee Newspapers reports the health department plans a staffing analysis and will offer more training to traveling nurses. An agriculture organization that includes Montana farmers said today that the new steel and aluminum tariffs announced by the Trump administration will take farm operations, quote, to the breaking point. Farmers for Free Trade's executive director says retaliatory tariffs are likely to harm farmers by restricting access to global markets. The group says farmers will fight the Trump administration on these tariffs.
We depend on free trade policies to maintain our export markets.
In a video on farmers for Free Trade's website, Michelle Erickson Jones, a farmer from Broadview, says she was optimistic about the economy under President Donald Trump, but concerned about proposed trade policies.
Crops that we grow here on this farm are exported across the globe. Policies that restrict trade would be devastating for farms like ours. Someday I'd like to pass the farm down to my boys. Mr. President, protect free trade and keep our agriculture economy strong.
Erickson Jones is the president of the Montana Grain Growers Association. Farmers for Free Trade is a lobbying organization started by former Montana Senator Max Baucus. The tariff will take effect at midnight tomorrow.
With Montana News, I'm Bo Baker. Attorney General Tim Fox's office is cheering a ruling by a federal judge yesterday.
This is a big win for supporters of coal exports.
Montana Department of Justice spokesman Eric Sell says a federal judge gave the go-ahead for a challenge to Washington State's denial of permits for a coal export terminal.
There's a reason that states aren't allowed to pick and choose which commodities they allow to go through their ports and on their highways and on their railways.
Last year, Washington State denied permits for the controversial Millennium Bulk Terminals project on the grounds of costly environmental damages. On appeal, the decision was upheld in April. Montana, along with Wyoming, Kansas, Utah, Nebraska, and South Dakota, filed a brief earlier this month in support of the company proposing the terminal. The company says Washington's actions violate the Commerce Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Montana Attorney General Fox says Washington is, quote, holding coal states hostage, unquote, and depriving Montana of jobs and tax revenue. Coal and railroad interests here want the terminal to export Montana coal to Asian markets. The case is expected to be heard in court in the coming months. Some Western lawmakers and energy industry officials are blaming Washington and Oregon for unfairly picking winners and losers by opposing Millennium Bulk Terminal. Yellowstone Public Radio's Jackie Yamanaka reports these comments came at a so-called energy summit sponsored by Republican U.S. Senator Steve Daines in Billings today.
Everett King is president and CEO of Lighthouse, the company behind the Millennium Bulk Terminal.
The permitting process, unfortunately, has been weaponized.
BNSF, Lighthouse Resources, the state of Montana, and others are involved in litigation over the denial of permits for construction of that proposed export coal port. The state of Washington asked a federal judge to dismiss the lawsuit challenging that decision. Judge Robert Bryan said Wednesday. The challenge, however, can move forward. A spokesperson for Washington Governor Jay Inslee didn't respond to questions from the Associated Press regarding charges that the state is obstructionist. She cited the pending lawsuit.
A man was killed when he was hit by a BNSF railway work train in Wolf Point. BNSF spokesman Ross Lane says an initial investigation indicates the man may have been crawling around under the train while it was parked and was killed when it began moving last night. The man's name has not yet been released. A Northwestern Montana man pleaded not guilty to deliberate homicide in the April 25th shooting death of a man at the victim's residence in Hungry Horse. Attorneys for 47-year-old James William Quinn of Martin City say he will argue he shot 33-year-old Bradley Allen Winters in self-defense. The Flathead Beacon reports Quinn entered his plea yesterday in district court. Continued fossil fuel development was in the spotlight at a so-called energy summit in Billings today. Jackie Yamanaka reports.
The chairman of the Senate's Environment and Public Works Committee kicked off the event organized by Montana Senator Steve Daines. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso told the nearly 500 attendees why he thinks the United States needs an all-of-the-above energy policy.
Well, there is a gap between renewable and reliable energy. And you cannot power this country, and you cannot power the world on solar panels and wind turbines. We need it all.
Coal mining in the U.S. has declined sharply, in part by utilities switching to natural gas, as well as turning to renewable energy. Ann Hedges of the Montana Environmental Information Center said comments like Barrasso's are discouraging. She said states like Iowa and Texas have figured out how to integrate large quantities of wind and solar into their electricity systems.
And for some reason, Montana seems to be grasping onto last century and trying to pretend that it is impossible to do what states across the country are already doing. We're losing out on market share as we speak, and these kind of conversations are really just holding us back.
There are a number of solar and wind projects across Montana. Mark Klein, the co-owner of VK Clean Energy Partners, highlighted its three projects in Yellowstone County that will export its power out of state. He told the group the company is in Montana because the state is supportive. Jackie Yamanaka, YPR News.